The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th canto, chapter number 28, text number 20, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasathikari, recorded on April 21st, 2007, in Tallinn, Estonia.
So today we are reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th canto, chapter number 28, text number 20. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Prabhodayati mavigyang
Prabhodayati mavigyang
Vyushite shokakarshita
Vyushite shokakarshita
Vartmai tad griha medhiyang
Vartmai tad griha medhiyata
Virasurapi neshyati
Virasurapi neshyati
Translation. King Paranjana continued thinking how when he was in a state of bewilderment, his wife would give him good counsel and how she would become aggrieved when he was away from home. Although she was the mother of so many sons and heroes, the king still feared that she would not be able to maintain the responsibility of household affairs. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The time of death, King Paranjana was thinking of his wife, and this is called polluted consciousness. As Lord Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita 15.7, Mabhaivangsho jivaloke jivabhuta sanatana manasastan indriyani prakriti stanikarshati. The living entities in this conditioned world are my eternal fragmental parts. Due to conditioned life, they are struggling very hard with the six senses, which include the mind. The living entity is, after all, part and parcel of the Supreme Spirit, Krishna. In other words, Krishna's constitutional position and the living entity's constitutional position are the same qualitatively. The only difference is that the living entity is eternally an atomic particle of the Supreme Spirit. Mavayavangsho jivaloke jivabhuta sanatana. In this material world of conditional life, the fragmental portion of the Supreme Lord, the individual soul, is struggling due to his contaminated mind and consciousness. As part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, a living entity is supposed to think of Krishna. But here we see that King Paranjana, the living entity, is thinking of a woman. Such mental absorption with some sense objects brings about the living entity's struggle for existence in this material world. Since King Paranjana is thinking of his wife, his struggle for existence in the material world will not be ended by death. As revealed in the following verses, King Paranjana had to accept the body of a woman in his next life due to his being overly absorbed in thoughts of his wife. Thus, mental absorption in social, political, pseudo-religious, national and communal consciousness is cause for bondage. During one's lifetime, one has to change his activities in order to attain release from bondage. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 3.9, Yagyartat karmanon yatra lokoyam karma bandhanaha. If we do not change our consciousness in this life, Whatever we do in the name of social, political, religious, or communal and national welfare will be the cause of our bondage. This means we have to continue in material, conditional life. As explained in Bhagavad Gita 15.7, Manakshastan Indriyani Prakriti Stani Karshati. When the mind and senses are engaged in material activities, one has to continue his material existence and struggle to maintain happiness. In each and every life, one is engaged in the struggle to become happy. Actually, no one in this material world is happy, but the struggle gives a false sense of happiness. A person must work very hard, and when he attains the result of his hard work, he thinks himself happy. In the material world, people do not know what real happiness is. Sukham atyantikam yat tat buddhi grahyam matendriyam, Bhagavad Gita 6.21. Real happiness must be appreciated by one's transcendental senses. And thus one is purified, the transcendental senses are not manifest. And therefore, to purify the senses, one must take to Krishna consciousness and engage the senses in the service of the Lord. Then there will be real happiness and liberation. It is stated in Bhagavad Gita 15.8, Sariram yadavapnoti yatschap yudkram atishvaraha grihit vaitani sangyati vairgandang ivashayat. The living entity in the material world carries his different conceptions of life from one body to another as the air carries aromas. If the wind passes over a garden of roses, it will carry the aroma of roses, and if it passes over a filthy place, it will carry the stench of obnoxious things. Similarly, King Puranjana, the living entity, now passes the air of his life over his wife, a woman. Therefore, he has to accept the body of a woman in his next life.
Om Ajnana Timarandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Shtapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupkadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam.
So, one should not misunderstand this verse and purport, thinking that this is a criticism of women. What is actually being criticized is to be absorbed in the thought of the opposite sex. If one is absorbed in the thought of the opposite sex at the time of death, then one has to take birth again in this material world. So, whether a man thinks of a woman, or whether a woman thinks of a man, both things are maya. This is not the International Society for Man Consciousness or Woman Consciousness. This is the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. We train the male devotees to think of Krishna. And we also train the female devotees to think of Krishna. So our business is the same. whether we have male bodies or female bodies, whether we wear a dhoti or a sari, our business is the same. We are meant to become Krishna conscious. Our thoughts are very powerful, actually. By your very thoughts, you are creating your next body. So someone may think, well, I'm not going to worry about it now. When death comes, I'll make sure to think about Krishna. Now I'm not dying, so I'll just let my thoughts run wild here and there. If I want to think about beautiful women, well, I'll think about beautiful women. Or if I want to think of a handsome man, I will think of a handsome man. Because I'm not dying right now, so it's okay. Later on, when death comes, then I'll think about Krishna. But now I'll just think about that wonderful member of the opposite sex. But you know what? There's a problem with that. Because whatever you're thinking about now is going to affect what you're going to think about at the time of death. I'm thinking of that beautiful woman, you see, or that handsome man. Right now, then at the time of death, I'm going to think the same thing. So the point is, you should fix your mind. If you were going to die in 1 minute, what would you think about right now, you see? Just imagine you were told you have 60 seconds to live. Where would you put your mind? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, you see? So we have to train ourselves right now. We have to absorb ourselves in Krishna consciousness right now with great intensity. With great intensity, which means very strong attention. Some people say, well, but that's hard work. I'm lazy. I don't feel like working hard. You know, I don't feel like chanting intensely. I'd rather just be spaced out. But you know something, you really can't avoid the struggle. Someone may say, I don't want to struggle. I just don't like to struggle. So I'll just let my senses run wild and do whatever they want. But again, there's a problem with here. There's a problem with that. Struggle you must do. You either struggle to become Krishna conscious, or you will be in a struggle to survive in this material world. You cannot give up the struggling business, that you cannot give up. But you can choose which struggle do you want. Do you want to struggle to be Krishna conscious? Or do you want to struggle to try to be happy in material sense gratification? So which one's it going to be? Well, I have a little secret for you. It's much easier and a lot more fun to struggle to be Krishna conscious than it is to struggle to be happy in material sense gratification. So therefore, an intelligent person will struggle to become Krishna conscious. Either way, you have to do tapa, austerity. Whether you struggle to become Krishna conscious or you struggle to enjoy your senses, you'll have to do austerity or tapasya in either case. So one has to intelligently analyze which is the best deal, which is the best program. I can struggle very hard to get the woman of my desire, you see. Or to get the man of my desire, you see, I can struggle for that. But what will be the result of doing that? What will be the result of that struggle for a sex partner? I just have to come back again and take another rotten material body that's filled up with stool, mucus, you know, like urine, vomit, you know, like you see, just that. I'll have to get another body like that. But if I struggle to fix my mind on Krishna, I will get an eternal body, which is full of knowledge and full of bliss. So only a fool would continue to struggle for sense enjoyment. The intelligent person will struggle to become a pure devotee of Krishna. What we have is we have people who are in the middle. They think, well, I want to be Krishna conscious, but I don't want to struggle very hard for it. So they kind of try to go back and forth, you know, Krishna, Maya, Krishna, Maya, Krishna, Maya, Krishna, Maya. This is called the neophyte devotee. They know they want to be Krishna conscious, but they don't want to struggle for it. But that's not a very... It's better than being a karmi, but still it's not the proper position. One should become very enthusiastic to struggle with great enthusiasm for becoming a pure devotee. Because that struggle will completely free one from all the anxieties of material existence. We see many neophyte devotees who want to be Krishna conscious, but who are not struggling hard to become Krishna conscious. And we see that they're full of so many material anxieties, how to maintain myself, this problem, that problem. But if those devotees will simply embrace the struggle of becoming a pure devotee, then all their anxieties of material existence will disappear. It is called Shuddha Bhakti, pure devotional service. So we should not be a non-devotee. We should not be a non-devotee, a karmi. Nor should we remain attached to being a neophyte devotee. We should struggle very hard to become pure devotees. Why? Because then we will taste the sweetest nectar at every minute. We will relish the pure bliss of Krishna's holy names. Our heart will dance in ecstasy simply by offering obeisances. So this is Krishna consciousness. In its pure form. So, are there any questions?
You mentioned this, that we should not be attached to being a neophyte. So,
it's what?
Should not be attached to being.
Yes, one should not be attached to remaining on the neophyte platform. That's right. Yes, one could. It's maintaining your material attachments. She was asking, because I had mentioned one should not be attached to remaining a neophyte devotee. And she was wondering, what does that mean? And I explained that that means that you're maintaining your material attachments. So we have to kick out our material attachments. Material attachments are enemies. Questions more?
Does Krishna have enemies?
Actually, Krishna, we know in Krishna Leela there are many demons who come to attack Krishna. Of course, Krishna, he doesn't have any enemies of his Krishna consciousness. No one can. We have enemies of our Krishna consciousness, lust, anger, greed. Krishna has no enemies of his Krishna consciousness. But in his lila, there are persons who come to attack him and try to kill him. You know in the Krishna book, many enemies. Agasur, Bakasur, Tirnavarta, Putana. You see, so many. Kaliya. So many enemies with him. And Krishna killed them or subdued them? So, just as Krishna killed or subdued, in the case of Kaliya, he did not kill, but he subdued Kaliya. So you must subdue all the enemies or kill them.
Enemies, maybe to give those
enemies
Krishna consciousness.
I had a thought that. That's Vragama.
To give Krishna consciousness to his enemies in the meaning of material desires.
The enemies, material desires?
Yes. To give, maybe he had a thought to give them Krishna consciousness, or is it dangerous? Yes.
Mm. You understand the question?
No.
The material desires are very, very dangerous things. That's about. They can kill your Krishna consciousness. You know that shloka?
He's saying that he asked the question if Krishna has any enemies. So the enemies is of material desires is enemies, and kill them, is that something related like that?
I don't follow.
Could you repeat the question again?
Have said that you need to attack this material desires.
Yes.
But I know that Krishna has everything personal.
Yeah. Everything what?
Personal.
Personal?
Everything is a personal.
Everything is a person?
Yes.
Because Krishna is an absolute
person.
Krishna is absolute person.
И я просто хотел спросить, что можно ли дать им как бы сознание Кришны, либо это опасно, когда ты будешь связан с этим, когда ты будешь проповедовать им сознание Кришны. Ну не я имею в виду вот этим. Ну люди не ли свои эти чувства тоже Кришны.
Now I can make up a little bit. I do not know what he really means, but he says that everything is a person. Personified.
Yeah.
Desires are also personified. Material things are also personified. So, and Krishna is the supreme person. So, doesn't that mean that those are his enemies? Is that correct?
Sorry. No problem. Может быть, я в простой форме скажу. Я имею в виду, что можно ли с этими врагами, можно ли этим врагам дать сознание Кришне?
Can we give Krishna consciousness to those enemies?
So, talking about lust, anger, and greed, those kind of enemies?
Враги, злость, корысть и вожделение.
Yes?
Yes.
So, I think it means that can these enemies, lust, anger, greed, also can become Krishna conscious or devotees?
Yes, you can use those in Krishna consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
If you have the problem of greed, then you can become greedy for spreading this Krishna consciousness movement all over the world. If you can become angry at those people who are killing the cows and killing the babies in the womb, and preach very vigorously to put a stop to the abortion and cow killing. So the householder, he can use lust in the service of Krishna by producing Krishna conscious children. Prabhupada said everything can be used in Krishna's service except for envy. But actually, even envy, there is what is known as transcendental envy. If I see that you're serving, that you're being recognized very nicely for doing first class service, and I am not getting recognized, then I can try harder to please Krishna more than you. So that I can get recognized also. Prabhupada calls that transcendental envy. So actually everything can be used for Krishna. Simply have to utilize it properly under the directions of the bona fide guru. Questions more?
Struggle with material world, they suffer.
People that are what with the material world?
They're struggling with material world.
Struggle.
When they start to struggle for Krishna consciousness, at the start, it gets hard for them for some time.
To begin Krishna consciousness is very difficult for them.
The main thing that new devotees say, young devotees say, that I struggle in the material world very hardly, and when I struggle for Krishna consciousness, it's also very hard. So if I struggle there and struggle here, it's impossible for me. It's too much struggling.
Mm.
If it would be like if he would struggle for Krishna consciousness and everything would be okay.
But this struggle is blissful. And this struggle eradicates the material struggle. This struggle takes away the struggle for material existence. It's just like you're suffering from jaundice. The disease called jaundice, it's a disease. There's a disease called jaundice disease. Just like you're sick, and you have to take medicine, but the medicine is bitter. But by taking that bitter medicine, your health improves, so you feel better. So even if one finds that Krishna consciousness is sometimes bitter like medicine, it cures the disease of material existence. And the more you take the cure, the sweeter it gets. But there's a special mercy dispensation given by Nitai Chaitanya Chandra, that you can taste the bliss in the very beginning. So actually the struggle to become Krishna conscious is not really even a struggle. It is simply a celebration of one's eternal identity. It may appear to be a struggle sometimes, but actually it is not a struggle. As Prabhupada confirms, susukam, it is simply recreation. So if they think it's a struggle to become Krishna conscious, we have to show them actually there's nothing more ecstatic than Krishna consciousness. Just like someone may think it is a struggle to rise early and come to Mangal Arati. I think that many people in Tallinn feel it's a struggle to come to Mangal Arati. Because when I came to Mangal Arati this morning, there was only four of us here. The Pujari, my wife Vishnupriya Devi Dasi, my disciple Ahaitiki Bhakti Devi Dasi, and myself. That was it. And I was thinking, well, the three of us are a traveling party, and if we were not here, only the Pujari would be here. So it appears that the devotees in Tallinn think that coming from Mangal Arati is a very difficult struggle. But actually, I can assure you this. If you want to taste the ultimate nectar, the highest bliss, beyond all the suffering of material existence, you will taste it every morning at Mangal Arati. I can ask the Pujari, is this not a fact? Yes. That every morning at Mangal Arati one can experience the highest nectar. And do you know that the great Acharya who wrote the Gravastakam prayers has given a boon? He has given a blessing? Do you all know this? Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has stated. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur said that anyone who will sing these prayers every morning during the Brahma Muhurta hour, they will qualify themselves at the time of death to retain the direct service of Krishna in Vrindavan. So when we come to Mangal Arati, we know that this is my ticket to Vrindavan. Guaranteed, I'll go to Vrindavan Dham at the time of death if I come to Mangal Arati every day. So anyone who realizes, wow, This is a free ticket to Vrindavan. They wouldn't dream of not coming to Mangalarti. You see? So those who don't get up for Mangalarti, they think, well, I can't get up for Mangalarti, it's too much of a struggle. But those who are highly enlightened in the science of Krishna consciousness, they know that if I sleep through Mangalarti, my whole day will be a struggle to bring my senses under control. So therefore, let me set the alarm, get up early, take my bath, put on my tilak, and come to Mangalarti. Any other questions? So, everyone is satisfied now? Everyone's solidly situated in the home, the pathway back to home, back to Godhead. All the obstacles are now removed. It's clear sailing all the way. What is that obstacle?
Krishna.
Yeah.
One more obstacle, Krishna.
Krishna?
Krishna?
You think Krishna is an obstacle? Huh?
Не даёт свободы вернуться назад домой, Кришна.
Doesn't let to go home that easy.
Не даёт так легко вернуться.
Doesn't, no. Give so easily the path, no. Doesn't take him so easily home.
You have some
Krishna.
There are some obstacles on the road.
Yes.
He says Krishna is obstacle. He's not taking him home.
Yeah. Krishna is the obstacle.
And he's not taking.
Because Krishna is not taking you home. Is that what you're saying? He wants that?
Yes, faster, of course.
Oh, you want to know the secret of how to go to home, how to achieve perfection very quickly? Yes, of course, we will give you that secret then. Have you been to India? Have you seen in India, there, of course here in Tallinn, many people have cars. But in India, most people do not have cars. But many people have bicycles. But they have to pedal a long way, 30 kilometers to work. You've seen how they get to work very quickly? On their bicycle, they will grab hold of the bus. So, if you want to advance very quickly, you simply have to find devotees who are very advanced in Krishna consciousness. And you have to grab hold of them. Grab hold of their feet, grab hold of their dhoti, and go for a free ride back to home, back to Godhead. This is why we take shelter of a spiritual master. Because Guru, he is highly advanced in Krishna consciousness. So if we all take shelter of his lotus feet, then we advance very quickly also. That is why Guru is absolutely required for every devotee. He must have Guru. Prabhupada compares it to the dogs in India. There are two types of dog. Sanata and Anatta. With a master and without a master. Generally, the dogs in India do not have masters. They are street dogs. They are street dogs. They are a pitiful sight. They are very skinny. They have wounds all over their bodies where the other dogs bit them. And no one wants them around. They throw rocks at them. Get away. It makes you very sad to see those street dogs. But there's another type of dog. We see on Juhu Beach, when the wealthy Indian businessmen are taking their morning walk, they bring their dog with them. Those dogs are very stout and strong. They are very jolly. So the dog who has master, he is very jolly and full of energy, enthusiasm. But the dog who does not have master, he is very fearful. You see? So you simply have to take shelter of Guru. And by the mercy of Guru, you become quickly advanced in Krishna consciousness. Any other questions? All right. We will stop here. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.